Hello and welcome to another episode of Book Echoes, a podcast for authors. Write your way to success. I'm your host, Connie B. Dowell, and it is episode 98, inching ever closer to that big 100th episode blowout party, whatever you want to call it, big 100th episode celebration. And as I've teased before, there will be some giveaways and there will be some announcements. And I can hint to you guys that it will involve courses and it will involve book covers. So if you have any particular desires in one of those two arenas, now is the time to let me know. You can comment on the show notes, bookechoes.com/show. You can find the show notes for this and all the episodes. You can also drop me a line, connie@bookechoes.com. Now, moving into today's topic, I have another author interview, and I talked with an author who, he did not write a memoir, but he did write a he did write a autobiographical novel. And we have this really interesting discussion about creating a piece of art out of the pieces of your life and some of the interesting narrative choices that he's had to make. And I think you guys will really enjoy our discussion. So here we go. So today on the podcast, I am talking with author Carl Buccellato. Welcome to the show, Carl.
Thank you, Connie. It's very nice to be here with you.
Well, thank you for coming and talking to me today. Now, would you mind telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you write?
Okay. Well, I am a retired executive. I'm 79 years old. And now that I'm in retirement, I had the opportunity to spend some time going over old journals and memoirs that I wrote over a period of 50 years, frankly. And they were used primarily to assist me going through certain issues that were in place from the time of my youth. I write books, this particular book is my first book, but it has to do with a generation from World War II to current. And I'm a representative of that generation. And it has to do mainly with the paradigm shifts and how life has evolved for the people like myself who were born and raised in quasi-poverty in Brooklyn without much future. And the opportunities that made itself available with discipline and work and education and the war years and all of the various things that occurred. So the book that I wrote has, many people call it a memoir. It's really not a memoir. It's kind of an exodus from one portion of life migrating to another. And it describes many things, including substance abuses, discovery of faith, overcoming issues in business and in life that were very damaging and very difficult, but perseverance makes things better. And so the reason I wrote the book is after sharing it with a few people, almost invariably they said they were touched by it. It moved them, grown men who I've known for many years, military combat veterans, said it brought them to tears, which meant that I expressed in there the emotions that I was going through at the time in such a way that it touched someone else's heart. And by doing so, hopefully, help them to have a path for their own journey. This is my journey, and I encourage people to take their own journey and learn from things. That's why I did this.
Okay, great. And would you mind sharing with our listeners what's the title of their book there?
Okay, the title of my book is To Every Page a Turning, One Life's Journey. And it looks like this. And the reason is to every page of turning is because it became very clear after a period of time while I was writing this, that our life is like a book. And every time we come into a new phase of our life or a new issue that confronts us with different demands, it's like turning from one page to the next. You must do something about it to change your life. I couldn't sit there and let life overwhelm me. I had to turn this page and act with it. And you will see as you go through the book, it has many, many twists and turns to it.
Yeah. I understand that your book is, it's based a lot on these journals and these papers that you had been going through, and there's a lot of your life in it, but it is fictionalized. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Everything that happens in the book is true. It actually happened. There are no fictional items or issues. There mm-hmm. are fictional renditions in the names of the people who were involved in it. And there are some dramatic license and presentation, but everything occurred.
Yeah, so it's a part fiction almost, but not quite memoir. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And I know memoir or writing based on their own history is something that a lot of people do gravitate toward, but it can be very different from other types of creative writing. So if you had, let's say a brand new memoir or somehow autobiographically based writer is listening to this show, what are some good first steps if someone is thinking about undertaking a project like this?
Well, for me, it was examining all those years of journals and notes. And obviously, if I were to put them out in front of us here, they'd be enough for an encyclopedia of over 50 mm-hmm. years. It's certainly a lot more than a couple of hundred pages that I elected to put together and write as a novel. And one of the things that I had to do was evaluate which of these events that I had documented have merit to put together as a continuation or an addition supporting the story as it rolls out of one life from the beginning to the end. Because it could have been, piles and piles of minutiae that nobody really cares about. I mean, nobody really cares. I got up this morning and I had to change the battery in my electric toothbrush because it broke down. Nobody wants to read anything like that. But if in fact you're going through an emotional issue or a memory that triggers to you something that's meaningful, that has an impact on your life and enough so that it drove you to do something, then that's beneficial to the story and should be included. I think there has to be a division between, am I writing this to pass on to my children as a legacy, or is this really something that will entertain and edify people? Is it something that will elevate people up to want to do something different? And so that was very important to me. I hope it's important to others. We can get so caught up in our own words and our own memories. We think they're wonderful. Everybody wants to hear this. No, people don't.
Yeah, a lot of good advice there. And I like what you're saying about understanding the purpose of a book, because while it is a noble goal to write something down, and there's some projects I know I'd like to do about family history, but if the audience is wider than your own family circle, then you're going to make different choices.
That's right.
Yeah.
And there is an online app that you can get that will send you, you can register with it, you give them a general background of who you are, and they will send you weekly a selection of questions that you can choose from and answer, and they will compile it for you. And then it will be at the end of the year, you can create a book out of it. But that's for the legacy purpose. That is not something that, for my purpose, when I wrote this book, I had to look at these different issues in life, different years, different eras, traveling for an executive, being someone in helping to educate, a young boy on the streets in Brooklyn, a warrior in the jungle. All of these things had to come together, and I had to list what would they mean, and I had to create characters that would fit into different chapters, and as they would flow through, have a purpose. Otherwise, it's very boring. So those are all things that have to be done. And so with this story program that I was talking about, it gave me the springboard to put together a small book of short stories and memoirs that became the legacy book that I gave to my family, to my children. But that didn't satisfy what I wanted to do in terms of the commentary in this novel. This is really a novel. This is not a memoir.
Yeah. Yeah. So there is a narrative thread that has to be accounted for, whether you're in that difference between, you know, writing down memoirs or family stories just
right.
as a legacy versus going for a wider audience, whether it's novelized or whether it's classified as memoir, because that's I know right. a lot of the great memoirs that I have read, they've made choices for an intentional audience. And another thing, you know, is that how do you make some of those choices for that narrative flow? Obviously, there's a lot of, you know, the minutiae of life that kind of right. needs, that's an easy choice to make, but sometimes there might, or were there any more difficult choices that you had to make to cut?
Of course, because this is, you have to decide in advance if you're going to be truly transparent. Mm-hmm. If you're going to write something that's meaningful and can affect someone else's life, you can't flower it to the point where you're the hero jumping in and everything you do is right and you've never made a mistake. And, you know, that's not what life is. There's a section in the book where I write about how at a certain point in my life, even as an executive of a publicly traded company, I realized, you know, you get up in the morning and it's bags under your eyes of bad breath. You're that person, you know. You're no longer this young, dynamic, healthy, spirited person that could do anything. You're raging and life is showing on you and you have to be willing to say it. And if you're willing to say it, you have to say it honestly. There's no such thing as cream cheese over the top of it. It's got to be real. There are issues in that book that I talk about substance abuse from my parent and another area with my child. There are areas in the book where I go through, you know, the years that I spent as part of a group called ACOA, Adult Children of Alcoholics, and what it meant to go into that and the gut-wrenching feelings that it brought up and the recognition that you can't run away from It. Every time I turn my back and say, well, that's not me, it was a lie. I had to come back and realize and confront it and deal with those issues. And I think that when you want to put something together and you say it's a memoir, you have to be willing to be transparent. I mean, depending on what you want to do. If you want to write a book on how it was to win the bake contest at the Y, okay, then you can be as flowered as you want, you know? But if you want to write a book that's really meaningful in terms of how it might impact someone else's life. How did it impact my life? And why am I willing to share it with someone else? Hopefully it will impact their life. And that has to be honest. And it hurts. It hurts a lot. There are things in that book that were very difficult to write. There's a section in that book where I describe the death of my father and how difficult it was for me because he was the active alcoholic in my life, you know? It was a very, very difficult moment. And but I had to put it down because there was a catharsis that came after that. And then there were some steps that I took, you know, to remedy certain feelings I had even after his death that were very essential for me to overcome some of that old pain. And well, you see me now at almost 80 years old. Next year I'll be 80 years old. And this is the total sum of all my mistakes, but all my corrections also, and recognizing that God loves me and that I have purpose and I can overcome things. And I can say I'm sorry to people that I hurt and hopefully redeem myself and redeem a relationship. Those are important things.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I imagine a lot of that was tough to put down, not just on paper, but to share with the world. But absolutely. Yeah. That's what makes memoir both compelling and helpful for the reader is when the writer doesn't pull their punches and right. and make, yeah, it has to be a little bit tough.
Right. But some of it was very tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know sometimes memoir or autobiographical fiction writers will combine places, situations, moments for dramatic effect. Is that something that you've done?
Well, I did to slight degree. Most of the issues that took place that I elected to use in the book were pretty strong in and of themselves. And so I used them the way they were. Some of them were combinations of events that occurred to me personally. Some of them were combinations of events that occurred to men that I have known over the years that were combat veterans and told me stories and they're no longer alive. And so I used a portion of their story, combining it in to the story, the greater story that I was involved in. And I thought it was only fair that since many of them didn't have family for me to ask permission for, you know, these are men that are gone, there's no trail of family to ask permission to use their story, that I changed their name. And I thought it was appropriate to do that. And that's one of the things that I did intentionally through the book. You will see that the protagonist is never named. He's identified as the old white-haired man. He's identified as the young man who gets into the ring to fight. As he carries through life, and he's referred to, it's in third person. His name is never used. And that's intentional because I believe that my generation at large, many, many people that I've met in my travels all over the world, experienced such similar situations that it's their story as well as my story. So I didn't want to limit it to a name. It was a time and a character and a group of people that lived through an evolution in this society, in this country. There's been a paradigm shift in this country that is so significant between our ethics and our beliefs and what we do to make a living and the kind of lifestyle we have to live, that all of that changed in many of my generation. There's 75 million senior people in this country. Many of that generation lived through similar things. And so I didn't want to identify it with a particular name, but generically as the person. And many people who have read the story already have come to me and said, that's, you're talking about me. That's my story you're talking about. So, It was a conscious decision not to name the protagonist.
That's interesting. That's an interesting narrative choice. I've not seen as much in third person. I've seen read quite a few first person books where the protagonist has no name, and that's pretty easy to do because it's all from their perspective. But that's interesting as a third person choice.
Yeah. So I'm excited about the book. The opening, the release is next week or 2 weeks. The early comments that I've heard back from people who I've given copies to read and give me feedback have been very good. But you expect that from people who know you. You don't expect that from people who don't know you. And yet people who I've never met before have read it and been very, mostly very on point in their review, understanding what I was attempting to do. That this is not a war book. It's not a love story. It's not a memoir of fantasy. It is a combination of a person's life. That's why to every page is a turning, because life has variances to it. And they've understood that, they've caught that. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah, that's great. And I think with the calendar for this podcast episode coming out, that the book would have already be released by that point, because this is coming out on the 14th. So do you have any kind of parting words of advice or do's or don'ts for aspiring memoir or autobiographical fiction writers?
Don't wait 50 years. If you have something inside of you, do it. Because I've been very blessed to come from death's door back to life again many, many times. But that might not have been the case. You know, somebody said to me once, don't die with the song still inside of you, you know, sing your song. And I've been, in addition to all the things that I've addressed in the book, I have been a singer all my life from the time I was a child, you know, and I know what that means to have the urgency to sing your song, to be able to reach people through what your voice can say. I've been very blessed and able to sing in churches, but I've also sang with various groups across the world. And, you know, I had the great occasion to sing the Lord's Prayer in Notre Dame in Paris. I've sang with the Mormon Tabernacle. I've, you know, I've done a lot of opportunities like that, and they have been a blessing to me because afterwards I felt good that I was able to express myself and others heard it. And so that's what I would say about writing. If in fact you've got something you feel urgent about writing, work at it, write it. We're none of us born professional writers. I'm sure some of us are educated more than others in terms of how to write and what the pros are and all the rest of it. But if you have an urgency to write, write. Get a yellow, right here in front of me, I have a yellow pad. And every day I sit over here with different thoughts and ideas and I write them out, perhaps for another book. Maybe this one won't take 50 years. Maybe it'll only take a year, who knows? But I encourage people, pursue your dreams. That's what I have to say.
Great, great parting words of advice, Carl. So thank you so much for coming on the show. Would you like to remind listeners where they can find you and your book online?
Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Mascot Books, old slew of places. You can get it online, and the e-book will be released along with the printed book as well.
All right. Well,
thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You made it very
comfortable and very easy. I was expecting, you know, change in labor, but no, that didn't happen.
Not at all. Thanks again for listening to this episode of Book Echoes. If you'd like to chat more about writing autobiographical fiction or memoir, then leave a comment, bookechoes.com/show. That's where you can find the show notes for this and all the episodes, and leave a comment there. You can also drop me a line, connie@bookechoes.com, or you can join the Facebook group, Author Goal Rockstars, link in the show notes of this episode to chat more about all this there. And finally, if you have enjoyed this show, I always appreciate ratings or reviews. You can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Audible Podcasts, or wherever it is you are listening to this episode. Until next time, happy writing!